Hello, happy new year, everyone. I hope your 2024 brings you all the good things you want and deserve, and of course, all the Canadian books you can get your hands on. In case you're new here, hi, welcome. I'm here to just help you discover your next favorite Canadian author to read. And that's pretty much the aim of this podcast. So I'm so excited to just be sharing my top 10 of 2023. I think it's a great list with a lot of different genres and styles of writing. In no particular order, as per usual, except for like the number one spot, which might not shock you if you've listened to my past episodes, but just that's just like a fair warning. Before I get into the list, though, I thought I'd share some of like my general reading stats for you. So like I read 108 books last year, which was less than 2022, but oh well, that's just how the things go. But of those 108 books, 50 of them were by Canadian authors, which is 46%. And then of those 50 books, 23 of them were authors from marginalized communities. So again, that is also 46%. Is 46 my lucky number for 2024? I don't know. But anyways, the authors that make up like this marginalized communities were mostly BIPOC. And then I think I had like one white LGBTQ dude. But in general, because why not mention it, of the 108 books I read, 42 of them were from authors from marginalized communities, which is 38%, which I think is terrible. I always set myself a 50% goal for reading diverse authors, and I didn't reach it for 2023, which really sucks, but that I can only have myself to blame, so that's fine. I will do better this year. Okay, enough about my personal issues and failures. Let's just turn to the positive and look back. And let me share my official top 10 Canadian books of 2023. So first off, I want to mention Superfan, How Pop Culture Broke My Heart by Jen Suk Fung Lee. I guess I really didn't expect to love a memoir so much, but I just really enjoyed the writing and the essays in here. They're like a deep dive into Jen's life and some like pivotal or important parts against the backdrop of pop culture moments. So like there's Rihanna. I should also say that I listened to this on audio, and just to like hear the author read it out, it was just like such a great experience. I loved that I was able to listen to it. So I really recommend doing this one on audio. Again, that was just Superfan, How Pop Culture Broke My Heart by Jen Suk Fung Lee. Okay, my next book is actually also a memoir, and that's These Days Are Numbered by Rebecca Rosenblum. Fair disclosure, this is like a Dundurn Press book. I currently work at Dundurn Press, but I read our books as a reader rather than like an employee in marketing. So I feel like this is a fair inclusion. I'm not giving favoritism or anything. I just like really loved this book. So it's kind of a pandemic memoir. It's like literally a compilation of sorts of Rebecca's daily Facebook updates about her time dealing with the pandemic and all its scary rules and everything as a resident in the most populated area of Toronto. You would think the tone of this would be like terrifying and a really bad look back at the worst time in, I think, all of our lives. But this book was just like so honest and funny, and I could not get enough of it, honestly. I know it sounds weird saying like a literal memoir that catalogs daily life in a pandemic is funny, but it really is like laugh out loud and lighthearted read. If you can see past the pandemic, I really do recommend These Days Are Numbered by Rebecca Rosenblum. I think my favorite story in that was towards the end with like the whole fruitcake fiasco. So like if you read the book, keep an eye out for the fruitcake part, because that was just, I was dying. Okay, oh, a thriller. I have a thriller for you to add to your TBR, and that is The Drowning Woman by Robin Harding. This book features Lee Gulliver, a woman down on her luck after her restaurant fails and ends up having to live on the streets. And she becomes even more unlucky when one morning she sees a sobbing woman throw herself into the ocean. After saving her, the drowning woman, Hazel, tells her that she wanted to die, that she's trapped in a toxic, abusive marriage, she's a prisoner in her own home, that kind of thing. So they end up becoming friends, and then one day Hazel just makes like this random request that she wants Lee to help her disappear, and after Lee agrees to that, she finds out there's more at play and at risk. Now, I know this book is like low-key a little flawed and not everyone found it as amazing as I did, but honestly this was me giving Robin Harding a second chance and it worked out fabulous for me. That's not to say everyone will love this book, but I just really loved the structure, the way it just gripped me right from the start. I really do think that The Drowning Woman by Robin Harding is a great summer thriller to pick up and just disappear in until you're finished. So yeah, save this for summer if you want to read a thriller. Okay, let's completely do a genre switch all the way to poetry. And that, my friends, is The Sun and Her Flowers by Rupi Kaur. I just ate this collection up. I don't know why. I know there's like a lot of issues with her writing and I guess accessibility to her poetry. Like people are mad that she's so successful. But that's honestly why I loved this book so much. It was just easy to sit and easily digest it. Like, I just literally felt the words as I read them. I've said this before in a previous episode, I think my poetry one that included this, but like, Rupi Kaur just made the basic bitch in me happy. And I've loved all of her collections so far. So if you want to get in your feelings one day, just pick up The Sun and Her Flowers or anything else she's written and just enjoy it. Next up for you is a graphic novel, and no, it's not Ducks, but you should absolutely read that one. This next book is actually nonfiction and a middle grade one, and that is Alone, The Journeys of Three Young Refugees by Paul Thom. This is an adaptation off of the documentary that Paul had created, which was award-winning from what I remember. So this highlights the fact that in Canada, 400 minors arrive alone requesting refugee status yearly. Honestly, just imagine leaving your home without your family because they're trying to send you to a country where you have a chance at a life. Like, that's just so heartbreaking and unfair and cruel for children to have to go through that. This book tells the journey of Afshin, Elaine, and Patricia, all kids who arrived in Canada, and the hardships and challenges that they had to overcome, not only on their very different journeys, but just also what they faced when they got here and like the struggles they had to do to get to like go through the system and get like get their refugee status and everything. This book is really just such an eye-opener and heart-wrenching. If you have a heart, you will definitely need to read Alone, The Journeys of Three Young Refugees by Paul Thom. I highly recommend. And it's such a really great packaged book. Like, I love the cover. The illustrations are beautiful. It's just wonderful. It's wonderfully done. All right, next up I want to talk about is The Light of Eternal Spring by Angel D. Zhang. This book is, I feel like you don't really need a book description, you just need to go ahead and read it. It was just such a unique and almost genre-bending read from what I remember it. I really should do a lot of book journaling this year to remember the books that I'm reading because this is terrible. But basically, I just thought it was such a quietly beautiful novel that I think, like, if you follow the author, you'll see a lot of her book on Instagram. But if you don't, then I think this will just slip under your radar. And I think that you're doing yourself a disservice, especially if you love like that literary fiction, again, like genre bending type of reads. I just thought it was really touching. It was like about family and not travel, but like living away from your parents kind of thing and like being different people or being a different person than what you grew up from, if that makes sense. It was just such a beautiful book. I honestly, this sounds so corny, but this is straight from my Goodreads review. I felt like I was just falling into it, much like Amy falls into photos. So again, it's kind of like that not sci-fi, but like maybe speculative fiction type of literary fiction genre mashup. So I don't know, it was just really sweet, again, beautiful. I feel like this is a book that you want to keep on your shelf and just reread for a long time, like just to like reflect on kind of thing. So if that's what you're looking for 2024, because this might be the year of reflection for you, I definitely recommend The Light of Eternal Spring by Angel D. Zhang. And this is the book that I stole from, I feel like I stole it from OLA, the Ontario Library Association, when I was there. They just had like a bunch of ARCs there. And I just like went and picked it up. I feel like it wasn't for me because like I was there as a vendor, not as like a librarian. Obviously, I'm not a librarian. but it's had an impact on me ever since I picked it up and just like walked right out of the Penguin Random House booth. But it's fine. Penguin sent me like a finished copy after, so I gave my ARC to somebody else. Next up, I have another literary fiction, but it's not so genre bending, and you might recognize it. It is We Meant Well by Irem Shazia Hassan. And this book, again, I think it's just another book that, honestly, it was robbed from the Giller Prize. This totally should have been front and center, shortlisted, winner, everything. Not that I have read the entire like long list or whatever, but like I just feel like I read this book and I'm like, okay, I found the winner and I don't need to read anything else. Boy, was I wrong. But that's fine. But this is a debut as well as the previous book I mentioned. And it's basically about charity and what it means to be charitable, who deserves what, who gets the power to decide who deserves what. It's again like a book about families, but also it's like your work family in a way, but also like your family back at home, because this woman leaves her daughter and her husband, who's possibly cheating on her, like back home to go all the way back to where she used to work and kind of like work out this this harassment allegation against one of the employees there. So it's a very heavy book. It is very much unlikable characters, kind of like morally gray characters, maybe not so much unlikable, some of them, but yeah, very morally gray characters, very much like, can you understand where they're coming from? Can you dismiss their actions because of what they were working towards, like that kind of really big questions that I think would really, if you have a book club or anything, and one of your goals this year in book club is to read more Canadian books. But yeah, I think this book is definitely an important one to read. Again, it was totally robbed from the Gillers, but what can we do, right? But yeah, if you're looking for like really straight up literary fiction, asks the big questions, big ideas kind of novel, this one is for you for sure. Next up, oh, we're down to the last three. Well, the last two are, again, random, but then we've got the number one spot, which you might know what book it is since I haven't mentioned it by now, but that's fine. Let me know if you've guessed right. But anyways, next up I have is River Mama by Zalika Reed-Benta. Again, I talked about this extensively in a previous episode. I don't remember the episode, to be honest. I apologize. But this is another kind of literary fiction, fantasy, magical realism kind of genre mashup of a novel. I guess the vibe for 2023 was genre mashups, because I read quite a few of them that I haven't even included in this list. But this is a book, I think if you're under 35, I think you'll really like this, because it's kind of like the very, like the young millennial type of characters that I don't think everyone will love. But like if you are very much into those books, but you want something very different, or like with a new look or through a new lens, I think that River Mama, like, you'd absolutely love just as much as I have. It has a 3.86 star rating on Goodreads, which I think it should be higher, but that's fine. Maybe you'll read it after I talk about it now and you'll rate it high and get those stars up, because I gave it 5 stars. It was definitely my most anticipated Canlit novel of 2023, and it really didn't disappoint. I think the writing style was fabulous. I think it was a very atmospheric book to pick up during fall. So if you do want to read it, probably save it until then. But I think January, maybe like early February kind of timeline would work for this novel. Like if, again, you're into the reading vibes. It was kind of like an epic like tale, and it was just wrapped up in this like really beautiful little novel. I think it's such a standout, honestly. Like, again, if you really love the younger millennial type characters trying to figure out their life, then I think you'll really love this book. And then we had a fictionalized Drake figure in here, which is just, oh my god, like cherry on top of the icing of the cake. It was beautiful. I really loved this. So again, that was River Mama by Zalika Reed-Benta. Sidebar, does she have anything else coming out this year? Because I'd really love to know. No, it doesn't look like she has anything. Oh, boo. Nope. Well, that sucks, but okay, that's fine. We will wait impatiently for her next book anyways. All right, next. Okay, the second last book, is it? Yes, it is. The second last book I wanted to mention before I say the top read of the year, and that is a holiday romance. That is Three Holidays and a Wedding by Uzma Jalaluddin and Marissa Stapley. So again, if you listen to like a previous episode, you will hear my full thoughts on this. I think I actually had this book half read when I recorded that episode. Oopsies. But anyways, the feeling still stands. It is still a really great book. It was a lot longer than I think was necessary. Like, it's not like a quick romance book that you might want to read. But I think it's still like a really wonderful kind of holiday magic type of vibe book. So I really recommend that one. I know you've seen it everywhere. I think it was like an Indigo pick anyways when it came out. But like the main thing I really loved about the book was that it felt like I was part of one big happy family, even though they all had their issues and everything. Like, I just felt like I was part of their family, and like the scenes that they had created or the atmosphere they created for their own holidays when they weren't able to celebrate it the way that they wanted to. So yeah, that's why, again, you probably do have to wait until, like, don't read this book now. Wait until December 2024 to read Three Holidays and a Wedding by Uzma Jalaluddin and Marissa Stapley, because it is fabulous. Definitely read it right at the beginning of the season, I think, because again, like, it's that longer kind of book that, like, it feels like it'll be long to read, but you want to sit there and enjoy it kind of thing. So, you know, just read it when you're in the mood. Maybe, hey, if you celebrate Christmas in July or whatever, add this into your TBR, because I know a lot of people post about that. Okay, and to no surprise of anyone who has listened to this podcast at any point during the year, my top number one favorite Canadian book of 2023 was A History of Burning by Janika Oza. So yeah, again, like, I think everyone who posted a 12 books by 12 friends challenge on Instagram, this is the one book that I was telling everyone to read. I get that it's not a slog, because that makes it sound terrible, but it is a very immersive, intergenerational family story. Like, a lot of characters. It is about 400 pages. So, like, it won't take you like 3 days to read it. Like, this took me a month to read, I think. How terrible. But like, it is so worth it. And it's just, you really get to know these characters. You really get to know the family, the history of everything. And it's just, it was such a strong debut. The cover is beautiful between, you know, Canada, US, UK. It's just such a standout, again, like another really standout book in the Canadian world, I think. She's such a shining star in writing, and I'm sure it took a lot to write this book, because again, like, it was very long. I could only imagine the process behind the scenes. But I think if you just want something that's more of a family saga, but something that has more than just wealth in the center of the story, I think that this is just like the book to read, honestly. I think it is just the book to read, period. Like this is a must-read book for everyone. It was so wonderful. I don't know if, I think it would be better if you maybe listen to it, like half listen to it, half read it, or however, like mix the like physical book with an ebook or physical book with the audiobook or whatever. Just like keep it moving for you. But I just think that it's so worth getting to know these characters and diving into this book that is very long, or it's long for me at least. But it was just it was just worth it to me. I don't know. I know I'm not explaining that right, but I do have a book review episode previously, which you can go back and listen to, that really just, I go really deep into this book. So I highly recommend that episode instead of me just rambling on here. Because yeah, that's what I'm good at here. So again, that was A History of Burning by Janika Oza, the best book of 2023 in my view. All right, so with that, I will leave you with 10 books that you must read, add to your TBR, borrow, whatever you'd like to do with these books. It's a new year, new books coming out, new exciting things to happen, hopefully for all of you, and hope you have a great start to 2024, and I will see you for my next episode.